Well, that was tough. Any way you want to spin it, Tennessee got its tail whipped, and it lost so much. And a reason it feels so bad right now is because of the season that Tennessee has had. When you win more, expectations are higher, and shortcomings like this, it hurts even worse. We're going to recap it all. What went wrong in Columbia, South Carolina with Hendon Hooker's injury? And where do the Vols go from here? All that and more here on a Monday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, welcome into it. This is your Monday edition of Locked On Vols, and I'm your host, Eric Kane. So glad that you guys elected to spend time with me here to start off your week right here on Locked On Vols. Win, lose, or draw, we're going to have an episode each and every weekday morning, and you can find it on YouTube by hitting that subscribe button and liking this video, and, of course, anywhere you get your podcast. It was not fun, guys. Again, welcome into it. I'm Eric Kane, your host, at underscore Kaner at Locked On Vols. Twitter Tuesday is coming up tomorrow. It wasn't fun. 63-38, Tennessee loses to South Carolina on the road. We're going to spend a lot of this first segment just kind of having a feeling out session, maybe a come to Jesus moment. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. We're just going to talk here in segment one. I'm talking to you. You guys feel free to talk back. Hit those comment sections up. Tweet me. A couple of you guys have my emails. You know, hit me up. This is an open discussion, and you can bring more of that discussion on tomorrow's Twitter Tuesday show if you want to get in some questions. Tennessee 63-38. What went wrong? Where does Tennessee go from here? That scoring plays in segment two. We'll do some stats and canter grades, more of that. This is going to be a Monday show, but here in segment number one, I started the segment off with Boogie on Friday saying, hey, feel like Tennessee's spoiled because there's no juice going in this matchup. And I even acknowledged it then. It's not been like that. And again, I was overlooking South Carolina. I mean, Tennessee was a 3-touchdown favorite on the road. The football player in me knows that you have to take every single game seriously. You can't overlook your opponent. You got to show up and treat every game the same. And I understand that, but you know, we don't play anymore. So, you know, we're doing this and you can afford to do that. Tennessee offensively, it wasn't perfect. It made mistakes. Tennessee offensively scored 38 points in this football game. The offense wasn't the issue. Tennessee's defense couldn't get a stop. Of 11 possessions, you had touchdowns being scored by South Carolina on 9 of those. On 8 of those. You break that down, 2 of those possessions where South Carolina didn't score was at the end of the half, at the first half, and the end of the game in the fourth quarter. So those don't count. South Carolina scored touchdowns on every single possession of the football game except one, when Tennessee's defense forced a 3-and-out to begin the second half on its first offensive possession. Outside of that, Tennessee just couldn't find a stop. Cornerbacks could not find an answer. Injuries. Danico Slaughter didn't play well. He goes out. Brandon Turnage didn't play well. He goes out. Kamal Haddon comes in there, and he talks crap to literally everybody around that'll listen, and he gives up. I had the PFF numbers pulled up a moment ago, but he was targeted like 7 times, gave up 5 receptions, 2 touchdowns. I mean, what are you doing? Christian Charles has no confidence playing cornerback right now. The injuries piled up. Brew McCoy didn't play in the second half. And of course, you had Hendon Hooker. The game was out of hand at that point in time. But still, I mean, you have Hendon Hooker running Tennessee's offense, and it's a non-contact injury. I've seen injuries like that before, and I knew immediately what it was. And it's heartbreaking. It is, because number one, you don't want to see that happen to anybody. Number two, you don't want to see that happen to the star of a team. Number three, man, what a season he was having. I mean, what a season he was having in the Heisman Trophy conversation. And with the loss, that likely knocked him out of being a finalist. But, I mean, what a season. And it's cut short. You know, what a career for Hendon Hooker at Tennessee. It's been short, albeit, but, I mean, it was memorable. Tennessee fans will forever remember Hendon Hooker for what he did, for stopping the skid against Alabama, for knocking off Florida here in a senior season. I mean, gosh, this season right now has very much 2016 parallels. And again, we'll discuss as the week goes on about getting back up off the ground and finishing this thing off the right way with Joe Milton at Vanderbilt, for a team in Vanderbilt that's playing on senior day for bowl eligibility, coming off two big wins, knocked off Florida the other day. think Vanderbilt's feeling confident right now. You best believe they are. We'll get into that more as the week goes on and how Joe Milton's attack will, you know, what it'll be and how this offense might look different. But my heart goes out to Hendon Hooker, man. Just devastating. Just devastating. Of course, you know, that's the lead or the lead A or the lead AB or whatever you want, or 1B or if you want to phrase it that way. But Tennessee knocked itself out of the college football playoffs. It's devastating. And again, you can live with a loss that comes from a better football team. South Carolina was the better team that night. But I think we can all agree that South Carolina is nowhere close to the caliber of a football team than Tennessee this year. But boy, did it play like it on Saturday night. Boy, did Spencer Rattler channel his 2020 Oklahoma quarterback season on Saturday night. He was fantastic. I'm not trying to take anything away from him or South Carolina. They were good offensively. Came in with a good game plan. Thought Marcus Satterfield had a good night. Thought Tennessee defensively, of course, we know it struggles. We know it has issues defending the pass. We know that it has shortcomings in playing musical chairs in the back end. We get it. But not making any in-game adjustments, not making any halftime adjustments, not applying more pressure, sitting back in zone on 3rd and 20 is not good enough. As I looked over in the press box at the guy sitting next to me, I said, how is South Carolina going to pick up this 3rd and 20? Oh, you're just going to throw it behind a linebacker that wasn't sinking deep enough into a zone drop in front of the safety for 25? Okay, that's how you're going to do it. I mean, we could all see it. I saw it from the press box. You guys saw it from the stands if you were there. You saw it from TV. You can envision it listening to it on the radio. I mean, it sucked. I mean, it really did. You know, I mean, I like to look at myself as a journalist. I like to look at myself as a personality, a content creator, whatever you want to call it. You guys know me. I don't shy away from anything. I speak exactly, you know, how I see it. Tennessee got its ass whipped. Sorry for the language. Tennessee got its ass whipped on Saturday. No ifs, ands, buts about it. And it hurts so much worse when you see the injury to Hendon Hooker. And, you know, if you're the most diehard Tennessee fan there is, or a guy that covers the team like me, you were all looking forward to a playoff run to where you were going to go and watch and root on your team, go cover your team, interview people about Tennessee Volunteers in the college football playoff. And that's wiped off. It's with winning, you can't afford to ever have little hiccups like this. This is okay. You could put Purdue in there in the Music City Bowl. That's a bowl game, and you know bowl games are a completely different thing than what they were even 5 years ago, 6 years ago. But you know Purdue, I'll get it in there, and then this one really is the first regular season game where Josh Heupel lost when you should have won. Pittsburgh last year, I'm not going to put it in that category. I understand it was at home, but look what Pittsburgh was a season ago. Ole Miss was ranked higher than you at the time last year. I'm not saying Tennessee couldn't win any of these games. I'm just saying, you know, games that you were supposed to win that you stumble. This is really the first one of the regular season so far. And I still think Josh Heupel is a great coach. I still think this is a great football season for Tennessee. Okay, you got to finish it off the right way. And again, we'll continue to discuss about it. But man, with winning comes higher expectations. And nobody wants to hear this. I get it. Nobody wants to hear this. You go back to July and you say, oh, what do you think Tennessee's going to win? I said 8-4. If you went back to July and said, hey, you beat Florida, you beat Alabama, you finish the season 10-2, and you go to a New Year's 6. You take that heartbeat and you run. I get it. Nobody wants to hear that right now. It's because the expectations were raised, because the college football playoffs were on the line, and because you lost where you just got your ass whipped. Man, that was the worst defensive performance, one of the worst defensive performances I've seen. You know, I'm not that old, but I mean, it's bad. I'm not saying that's the worst Tennessee loss ever. I'm not getting in that conversation. You know, games in 01 come to mind with a backup quarterback. Games in 96 Memphis come to mind. I'm not saying that, but that was a bad loss. I'm not saying anybody should be fired over it, but that is a bad loss. Josh Heupel's definitely not being fired. Josh Heupel's had a great year. But that's disappointing. 63-38. You make one defensive stop all night, force a 3-and-out on South Carolina's first possession of the second half. Offense, you weren't perfect. You didn't help yourself out a lot of the times, but you played well enough to win this football game. Hendon Hooker put up Hendon Hooker stats before going out with injury. It's disappointing. No ifs, ands, buts around it. That was bad. That was a bad football loss. Oh, I didn't even get into the Jeremy Banks situation that I know all you guys want me to touch on. So I'll lead off next segment with that. A lot of rumors swirling around about team divided, culture issues, locker room fights. Is he injured? Is he not? Why didn't he make the trip? I'll address that on the other side. How's that a tease? Stay here with us on Locked On Vols. We'll get into that, scoring plays, a whole lot more when we come up next here on Locked On Vols. I'll remind you guys about Simply Safe. This episode is brought to you in part by Simply Safe. Did you know that over the holidays, property crimes, burglaries, package thieves, spikes nationally, guys? That's why our friends at Simply Safe Home Security are offering 50% off their award-winning security system so that more families can feel safe and secure this holiday season. Order your Simply Safe system for half off today and enjoy advanced security and greater peace of mind this holiday season. All right, they've got 24/7 professional monitoring agents that use Fast Protect technology exclusively from Simply Safe to capture critical evidence and verify if the threat is real so that you can get priority from the police response. It's a whole home security, that being Simply Safe, with advanced sensors for every single room, window, and door, HD security cameras inside and out, smarter ways to detect motion and alert you only when the threat is real, and even hazard sensors that detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home. 24/7 professional monitoring services that cost less than $1 a day, less than half the price of ADT's traditional professionally installed system. Don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system that I recommend. If you knew where I lived, you'd understand why I recommend it. Shout out Matthew Osborne. You know all about it. Get 50% off any new Simply Safe systems at simplysafe.com/lockedoncollege. That's today. This is their biggest discount of the year, so don't wait. That's simplysafe.com/lockedoncollege. There's no safe like Simply Safe. Hey guys, welcome back into your Monday edition of Locked On Vols. It is your first listen, a part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Check out Locked On Sports Today, the biggest news items of the day, the take of the day, all that and more. That's Locked On Sports Today, your second listen right behind Locked On Vols, your first listen each and every day on YouTube. Please hit subscribe, like this video if you would please. Let's get in front of more Tennessee fans. And wherever you find your podcast audio wise, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, you know, all that good stuff, completely free. Go ahead and leave me a comment as well and rate me 5 stars if you would please on Apple Podcasts. That would help me out so much. All right. So I teased it before we went to break. So many of you guys are asking about Jeremy Banks. Why didn't Jeremy Banks make the trip? Why didn't Jeremy Banks start? Is Jeremy Banks injured? Is there a locker room issue? Did he fight Hendon Hooker? I've heard pretty much everything over the last couple of days. Like I said, I tell you like I see it. I'm not going to hide anything from you, but I'm not just going to speculate because that is not what I do. I don't get on here looking for clicks. I understand I get paid by views and downloads, but that's not my style. I don't get on here looking for clicks, okay? That shortchanges you, in my opinion. Here's what I know about Jeremy Banks. Jeremy Banks had a bad week last week. He had a bad week. He is dealing with an elbow injury. That is valid. Is it enough that it would have kept him out of the football game? I don't think so. But he does have a little bit of an elbow injury. I think Jeremy Banks didn't have one situation last week. I think he had a couple. He had a bad week. And I think he was held out of the game for that. Josh Heupel said after the game that he was unavailable. And then he kind of had a hashtag subtweeting message on this one needs to hurt for people on the way home. It needs to hurt for those at home that will be with us tomorrow. I left a lot of speculation, you know, over at VolQuest.com, the general quarters. Everybody's running wild. We've seen it on social media. You guys have been diving in my DMs. Here's what I know. I do not think that there was a fight between Jeremy Banks and Hendon Hooker. I know Jeremy Banks even put out on social media on Sunday afternoon that there was, you know, no altercation. He's all Vol, yada, yada. That's good to see. It's good to see. I do think there was a disagreement. I think maybe words were said. I think there was a tweet out there about the T, you know, about the T in the locker room. You don't step on the T. I mean, you know, again, hashtag Uncle Rico, if you'll allow it. At Carson Newman, we had a seal. You know, Carson Newman, you don't step on the seal, you know. It's just one of those things. I think someone tweeted that out on social media and all that type of stuff. I think that's, you know, spot on. I think there might have been like some words said, but there was no fight. Nobody got punched. There was nothing like that. That's what I know. Also, a lot of people saying divide, the defense against offense. Defense was mad that Jeremy Banks didn't play. From conversations I've had, and again, you know, I'm just one person, but conversations I've had, that's not the case. A very, very credible source tells me there is absolutely no divide in that locker room. This team loves one another. They root on one another. through win, loss, all that type of stuff, you know, G-rated, all that good stuff. There's no divide in this locker room. So that is what I know. And I told you, I do think, again, Jeremy Banks is dealing with a little bit of an elbow injury, but I think there was more to that. I think Jeremy Banks just had a bad week last week, and I think he was kept out of action. So we will see. Will Jeremy Banks be back on the football field against Vanderbilt? We'll see. You hope so. A player that's had a troubled past and a player that needs football and a player that needs structure, you hope so. We'll see what happens. But as far as is this tearing up the team, is it offense against defense? You know, very credible conversations that I've had on Sunday, that is not the case. So that's good to hear. That's what I know about Jeremy Banks. I know there was tons and tons and tons of rumors and all that type of stuff swirling around. That's what I know. And it was good to see him tweet out on social media that as well. So, or Instagram, whatever it was. So that's good to see. Let's move on, shall we? Let's move on. Let's go to scoring plays from this football game. I know Tennessee lost 68-38. I understand starting quarterback Hendon Hooker went down with an injury, but it's Monday and we're going to play scoring plays courtesy of the Vol Radio Network. I've written permission to play these audio wise on YouTube and on the audio platforms. I want to bring them to you because, again, we don't have but one more Monday show left and one more show after a bowl game left, and football season's over. Can you believe it? I know it hurts. I know you're frustrated. There's no excuse for that type of defensive performance at South Carolina. There's really no excuse to lose when you're a three-touchdown favorite. I understand all that, and that's valid. You can be upset. But we're going to play scoring plays because there's not much football left. And that right there breaks my heart more than anything. So Tennessee falls down 7-0 in the first quarter. Jaheim Bell holds in a 19-yard swing pass from Spencer Rattler to go up 7-0. 10:34 left in the first quarter. Tennessee jumps on the board actually a minute and 4 seconds later. Didn't take long at all. A minute four to go 75 yards on four plays. Jabari Small, a little shimmy, gets in the end zone. Here's how it sounded when Tennessee tied it up at 7-7 on the Vol Radio Network.
First down, Tennessee Hooker. Hands off to the tailback and running.
He's
Jabari
gone.
Small to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Tennessee. Jabari Small right up the middle goes 31 yards for the score. And Tennessee answers just like that against South Carolina. And they pulled it within one on Jabari Small. Scamper up the middle.
So it was 7-7 with 9:30 left in the first quarter. Josh Fan, the leading receiver for South Carolina a season ago, has done practically nothing this year. Albeit, hello, Tennessee secondary, right? Tennessee defense. Has two touchdowns in the first half. This first one, 60 yards from Spencer Rattler, and that takes it to 14-7 in favor of South Carolina. The Gamecocks will go up two touchdowns about 5 minutes later when Juju McDowell takes an 11-yard swing pass from Spencer Rattler when a horrible, horrible angle by the safety, and he gets into the end zone to make it 21-7. Now Tennessee does come back, cuts it to a touchdown deficit, 21-14, 12:24 left in the second quarter. Talk about a ballsy move here. It's 4th-and-3 from the 7, I believe, or 4th-and-3 from the 3, 4th-and-goal from the 3. And Tennessee knows, hey, we got to score here. Hendon Hooker throws it up to his guy in Cedric Tillman, the first of two touchdowns. Here is how it sounded on the Vol Radio Network.
Jalen Wright's the tailback, Hooker in the shotgun. And now they send two wide receivers, the two tight ends out to the right. Hooker back to throw. It looks that way. Fires fade pattern to Tillman, and it's touchdown, Tennessee.
Wow, what a catch.
Tillman on the fade pattern in the back corner of the end zone, and Hendon Hooker, he had the slot and the slant pattern, but he threw it to Tillman in the back left corner of the end zone. What a catch by Tillman. He goes up to grab it, and Tennessee answers on a fourth down and goal at the 3 on the pass from Hooker to Tillman.
So it's 21-14 with 12:24 left in the second quarter. You have South Carolina that responds on its next drive, 74 yards, 7 plays. Dakarian Joyner, who was the Wildcat quarterback, one yard rush makes it 28-14. Tennessee has to get some points. It takes 4 minutes off the clock, goes 65 yards on 12 plays, settles for a 27-yard field goal from Chase McGrath at the 4:58 mark of the second quarter, and that makes the score 28-17 as Tennessee cuts into that deficit to make it only 11.
And this trying to pull Tennessee to within 28-17. Paxton Brooks on the hold. Snap down, kick on the way, and the kick is up and good.
So Tennessee's trailing by 11 points. South Carolina scores yet again, just over 2 minutes left in the first half. The second touchdown reception from Josh Fan, 18 yards from Spencer Rattler. It is 35-17 South Carolina. Tennessee has to score. Credit the Vols marching down the field, going 75 yards on 11 plays, taking only a minute 52 off the clock. Scores before the half. It was a deflection from Hendon Hooker, balls up in the air, and Brew McCoy comes down. I think, personally, I don't know this for a fact, I think this is the play that he got injured on, Brew McCoy, of course, who didn't play in the second half. But Brew McCoy hauls it in and makes it 11-point deficit once again at 35-24 at the halftime break. Here's how it sounded from Bob Kessling and Pat Ryan.
Hooker looks, fires up in the middle, ball batted in the air, and it's caught by Tennessee in the end zone. Touchdown, Tennessee. The ball was batted at the line of scrimmage, popped up into the air, and then Tennessee able to catch it in the back of the end zone. Brew McCoy on the touchdown.
Tennessee comes out in the second half, gets the football, and has to punt it away. Defense comes out, forces a three and out. That's good. Good start to the second half. Unfortunately, that was the only time that South Carolina punted on the day, but it does punt it back to Tennessee. The Volunteers come back, score again, this time 41 yards. From Princeton Fant from a Hendon Hooker throw at 9:53 left in the third quarter, making it a 4-point deficit at 35-31. A beautiful play design where you have Hyatt sending in motion. Princeton Fant, the nickelback over there saying, "Hey, I need help. I need help. I need help." And Princeton Fant, because of that motion from Jalen Hyatt, is wide open, 41 yards. Here's how it sounds from Bob Kessling.
Second down 10. Hyatt goes in motion across the formation. Hooker back to throw. Fires it over the middle. Wide open down at the 15, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Tennessee. Right down the middle. And that's Princeton Fant with the touchdown grab.
Unfortunately, that was the last touchdown for quite a while for Tennessee. You had Antoine Wells Jr., the James Madison transfer, who had a really good game, 3-yard rush to make it 42-31. You have Jaheim Bell, a 2-yard reception from Spencer Rattler. 41-31. You had DeCarrion Joyner again, a 3-yard rush out of the Wildcats, 56-31. And that was set up on a short field, unfortunately, after Hendon Hooker fumbles while tearing his ACL. Oh, just a gross play to see. You had DeCarrion Brooks, 20-yard pass from Spencer Rattler, makes it 63-31. As you can see, this game got out of hand. Joe Milton does come in, throws a 64-yard strike to Squirrel White down the sideline. And later on, they actually stall out on that possession, I believe. But later on in the fourth quarter, Tennessee does find the end zone once again. Second touchdown reception of the day for Cedric Tillman. 21-yard reception from Joe Milton. A beautiful, beautiful catch from Cedric Tillman, who goes up and over the cornerback and pulls it in. Free cookies in Knoxville after this touchdown reception from Cedric Tillman.
Milton out of the shotgun. South Carolina jumps.
Free play.
Milton fires for the end zone. The pass for Tillman is going to be caught.
I believe he caught it.
I think. Yes, touchdown, Tillman. Tillman battling along this near sideline with Dial, and Tillman just went up and snatched it away. And so that's a 21-yard touchdown pass to Cedric Tillman.
All right, guys, that is how it sounded. I know you'd like more scoring plays, but that is how it sounded, courtesy of the Vol Radio Network from Tennessee scoring plays in the 63-38 defeats of South Carolina. All right, when we come back, we'll dive into the stat sheet. I'll give you my grades. We'll talk a little bit more in depth about this loss for the University of Tennessee. But I want to tell you about a proud sponsor that brings this episode to us. It's Nissan. The thrilling moment in college football is brought to you by Nissan every single Monday. The thrilling designs behind the new lineup of Nissans are intended to empower drivers and vehicles as capable as the drivers themselves. When I think of unbelievable abilities on the field for this week's thrilling moment, it has to be that Princeton Fan 41-yard touchdown. So Princeton Fan is flexed out wide. You have Jalen Hyatt, who is motioning over there towards him, And so nobody's motioning over there with Jalen Hyatt. The motion has been Tennessee's best friend. So you have a nickelback that's in a bind. He's got to cover two guys. Is it Hyatt on the underneath? Or is it Princeton Fant running a seam down the middle? He chooses Hyatt. The safety is so slow to get over there. Nobody's at home, and Hooker finds Princeton Fant right down the middle of the field for a 41-yard touchdown. Just another beautiful play design from Alex Golish and Josh Heupel. So the thrilling moments each and every single week. It's featured across. It's brought to you by the new Nissan Pathfinder, new vehicles. You can pursue what thrills you. each and every day from Nissan, the Frontier, the Pathfinder, whatever they have in store today. They're available in person and at NissanUSA.com. All right, guys, we got a final segment left here of this Monday edition of Locked On Vaults. This has not been a fun episode to do. It feels kind of like, you know, gotta talk quiet. It's almost like we're at a wake here. And I mean, there's a joke there about the college football playoffs I'm not going to make, but you know what it is. I mean, Tennessee's chances, college football playoffs, are over, and that's disappointing because you've seen how good this team is. Again, I call it like I see it. Saturday's loss, horrible, embarrassing, pathetic, pathetic defensive showing from a team that showed much better this year. That does not mean I'm saying fire this coach or fire that coach or fire this coordinator, or fire this position coach. Well, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying from a group that's shown so much more this year, that was really, really bad. And it's awful. I mean, it really is, because you're a 3-touchdown favorite and you lose 63-38. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it, right? It's not great. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on these stats because, again, they're not good. Excuse me. I am almost over this, by the way. Almost over this. Gotten so much better. At least I think. My voice is still my voice. So it's up for you to determine there. Total offensive yards, 606 yards for South Carolina. That is not great considering it did not score an offensive touchdown the week before against Florida. 606 yards. Tennessee still in defeat, put up over 500 yards total offense. In case you're wondering, Tennessee is still ranked the number one offense in the country in yards per game and scoring. So there's that. Spencer Rattler threw for 453 yards in this football game. Joe Milton, Hendon Hooker, 355 yards. Only one turnover, and that was when Hendon Hooker fumbled whenever he had the injury. Tennessee's defense created no turnovers. Again, only one stop defensively. Just not great. Third downs for these football programs. Tennessee was 5 of 12. You had South Carolina that was 8 of 11. Fourth down conversion. South Carolina was 2 of 2. Tennessee was 2 of 3. Just not great. Hendon Hooker still put up Hendon Hooker-like stats, man. 25 of 42, 247 yards, 3 touchdowns. Excuse me. Was he perfect? No, he was not, but he was still solid and still really, really good and still worthy of being a Heisman Trophy finalist. But again, that award goes, I mean, so much of it is on team success. And unfortunately, in my opinion, with Tennessee's second loss of the season, I don't know if he'll cut it. Plus, he's not going to play this week. So we'll have to see. That's just my opinion. Hendon Hooker was not great in terms of accuracy. His completion percentage was way down this week, but still threw for 3 touchdowns, 3 TDs, and 247. Joe Milton came in. Gosh, he throws it too hard. 4 of 8, 108 yards, 64 of that on 1 reception, 2 Squirrel White, 1 touchdown as well. Tennessee ran the football, and when you're down by multiple scores in the second half, you kind of have to go away from the run. That's unfortunate because South Carolina's defense was surrendering 192 yards a game. Jabari Small, nice little shimmy there, 31-yard touchdown run on Tennessee's first possession of the football game. 80 yards for Jabari Small on 11 carries, averaging 7.3 yards per carry. Jalen Wright, who I thought ran pretty hard, 6 carries, 28 yards, 4.7 yards per carry. Hendon Hooker added 25 yards on the ground. Tennessee averaged 5.4 yards per carry, only ran it 28 times, though. I get it. Cedric Tillman, I'm here in segment 3, now I'm falling apart. Cedric Tillman targeted 18 times, 9 receptions, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jalen Hyatt, 10 targets, 6 receptions, 65 yards. No touchdowns. Brew McCoy, who didn't play in the second half, targeted 5 times, 3 receptions, 19 yards, and a touchdown. We'll have to see the statuses of Cedric Tillman and Jalen Hyatt and Brew McCoy. All those guys got beat up a little bit in that football game. We'll have to monitor what's going on this week with those guys. Squirrel White, 7 targets, 5 receptions, 96 yards. It's just kind of is what it is. Spencer Rattler, 30 of 37, 438, 6 touchdowns. Man. Knew he was always capable. I even said that last week. Knew he was always capable. But boy, oh boy, did not see that coming. Jaheim Bell, tight end, running back, utility player, 82 yards on the ground. Amirian Brown, who's a wide receiver, 39 yards on the ground. A lot of these jet sweeps, wildcat stuff, and you're getting a lot of people involved because Christian Beale Smith and Marshawn Lloyd were both out, their top two running backs. Juju McDowell, another running back, he had negative 4 yards rushing on the day. Right? I mean, he's the only running back that registers on the stat sheet. Dakirian Joyner is a wide receiver, wildcat quarterback. Spencer Rattler is a quarterback. Antoine Wells Jr. is a wide receiver. Those guys are who I'm talking about registering rushing attempts. Antoine Wells Jr., boy. 14 targets, 11 receptions, 177 yards. No answer for him on this on the night. Jaheim Bell, 2 receiving touchdowns. Josh Fan, 2 receiving touchdowns. Not a good day for Tennessee secondary whatsoever. Tennessee defensively had 9 TFLs, 1 sack, came late at delayed blitz there. Air Beasley was matched up man-to-man with the running back, and he just went ahead and because the running back was standing in the block, and he went and got that sack. 1 sack on the night, 9 TFLs for Tennessee's defense. South Carolina, 1 sack, 3 TFLs on Tennessee's offense. It's not a good day. Not a good day whatsoever. Caner grades. Quarterback, I will give an A. Again, you scored 38 points in this football game. You are not the reason that you lost this football game. Tennessee, though, had some penalties at the most impromptu times. Contributed to, essentially gave South Carolina one of their touchdowns off a couple of defensive holding calls there in the first half. And then on one series for Tennessee, you had, you converted on a 3rd and long, but got called back for holding, and then you gave up a sack, and then you gave up another holding penalty. I mean, that just negated the drive in itself. Penalties weren't a huge issue, but they were just at the worst times possible. Kind of like the Athens game in Georgia. It really, really was. Quarterback still gets an A, though, because you still put up numbers. Running backs get an A. I wish they would have stayed with the run a little bit longer, but I understand that you couldn't because you were down multiple scores in the second half. Tight ends get an A. Prince of Van had a touchdown. Thought they blocked well. Wide receivers get a B+. Hyde had some drops. Very uncharacteristic of him, but the last couple of weeks he's had a couple of drops, still by putting up big numbers. But Hyde had a couple of drops. I give the wide receivers a B+. Offensive line. I'll give the offensive line a B+. Still had over 500 yards total offense. Gave up 1 sack. But a couple more holding penalties. They've had 7 holding penalties the last 2 weeks. I don't think Javonte Spraggins played well. I don't think Jerome Carvin played well. I think Cooper Mays and Darnell Wright played really well in this football game. The left tackle spot was much, much better from the Missouri game. I'll say that. And Gerald Mincy, who played the entire game at left tackle for Tennessee. So quarterback an A, running backs A, tight ends A, wide receivers B+. I'll give the offensive line a B. Offense wasn't the issue. It wasn't. Let's go to defense. Defensive line, C-. Could not affect the passer. Could not get into the backfield without bringing somebody from the second or third layer. It's been an issue all week long, all year long, excuse me. Could not affect the passer. Because of that, Spencer Rattler was able to sit back there and look like the Heisman candidate that he once was. Not at South Carolina, but he was on Saturday night. Goodness gracious. Defensive line gets a C-. Linebackers get a C-. I think Aaron Beasley's making some plays. Aaron Beasley is turning into a good linebacker. But he made mistakes. Juwan Mitchell made mistakes. Solon Page made mistakes. Those guys are not sinking enough in their zone drops. They're overrunning plays. They're missing tackles. Linebackers get a C-. Defensive backfield. Anybody want to guess? Anybody? 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 Get an F. It's team game. It's team game. Everything's tied in. If you get more of a pressure from the front four, then yeah, the defensive back should flourish a little bit more, but was not the day for Tennessee cornerbacks. Had no answer. Safeties were slow. Wesley Walker set the edge so many times playing the star position on those lateral runs, those jet sweeps, those stretches. He or Tamari McDonald set the edge and forced it back inside. And so many times there was nobody pursuing from the backside, whether it be a linebacker or whether it be a safety. From a guy that loves defense and from a guy that I feel like I speak football, it's very frustrating. Do I know everything in football? Heck no. I don't pretend to know that, but gosh, when I see someone set the edge and the play's forced back inside and no one's there to make the tackle, that frustrates me. That frustrates me. Cornerbacks had no answer. Kamal Haddon talked so much trash, and there was no excuse for that because he played awful. He's got so much ability. In fact, I think he's got the most ability of anybody back there, but it's not consistent. It's not consistent whatsoever. It's not. It's a liability. It is a liability. Christian Charles just has no confidence. He's playing lost back there. He was in good position a couple of times. He gave up 2 touchdowns. He was in really good position a couple of times, but he just didn't make a play. Denico Slaughter did not have a good game when he was in before he went out with injury. Brandon Turnage did not have a very good game before he went out with injury. You hope those guys are okay. It's not a good night for the secondary. Secondary gets an F. Special teams gets a C. McGrath made a 27-yard field goal, which is good. Good at the time, for sure. You add Paxton Brooks, who averaged 35 yards on a punt or on his punt, I think he punted twice, which is, you know, whatever. It's not that great. But, man, he had two kickoffs out of bounds. What are you doing? Two kickoffs out of bounds. South Carolina didn't need any help on offense, right? Starting at the 35. Whew. Special teams gets a C. And then coaching will get a C in this one. Maybe a D in this one. I didn't think at times the play calling on offense was great, but of course it was good. And again, offense is not the reason you lost this football game. What frustrates me is that there was no adjustments being made. And again, like, you know, I would have brought some more pressure a little bit. I would have done anything. I would have run some more games up front. I would have sacrificed the back end to try to get a hand in the quarterback's face. That's what I would have done. I would have had a little spy, you know, playing cover one pirate a little bit, trying to cause some havoc underneath. You know, South Carolina ran that mesh route, and it fooled the linebackers, and it fooled the safeties all night. I would have tried something. I would have made some adjustments. And again, I don't have the answers, and I'm not trying to point fingers or anything, but I feel like some adjustments should have been made, and there were no adjustments that jumped off the tape or jumped off in real life of what they made in the second half. Coaching gets a C- because of that. Tennessee loses 63-38. Its playoff hopes are done. It's upsetting. It's frustrating. Tennessee fans, you're frustrated. A guy that did the Tennessee football podcast and wanted to go cover a college football playoff. Man, I'm upset. I wanted to go do that, man. That's why you do it. I love covering football. I want to cover the best games. I wanted to do that. It's upsetting. But it's upsetting because Tennessee is so much better than the team that it lost to. So much better. So much better. With winning comes greater expectations. And what happened Saturday night with this type of team that's won these type of games this year, it's not great. It's not great. I know I was long-winded today, guys. I'm sorry, but I wanted to get in there. I wanted to share some thoughts. We had a whole lot to talk about. Any questions that you guys have, Twitter Tuesday, get them in, @_Kane or @LockedOnVols. You can take over the show tomorrow as we discuss Tennessee football moving forward. Joe Milton will be the starting quarterback. Thoughts and continued prayers for Hendon Hooker as he recovers from a torn ACL that was made aware on Sunday afternoon. You hate that. Be praying for Hendon Hooker and his family. But whatever questions you guys have, shoot them in @_Kaner and @LockedOnVols. Mailbag edition of Locked On Vols coming up tomorrow right here on the show. Make Locked On Sports today your second listen. Takes of the day, biggest storylines in sports, all that and more. Make that your second listen right behind Locked On Vols, your first listen each and every day. Guys, same time, same place. Come back. We still got more to talk about. We'll do it again tomorrow. This is Locked On Vols.